Welcome back to another episode of Coffee and Christ.
Welcome.
And we're back to the old school grind. The old getting back up in the saddle. I don't know. A lot of lingos. You know, get back up in the saddle, you know. When you're like, yeah. You know, because we've had a little bit of a break. We went over kind of our mission trip. So we're back into Proverbs. And we're like, woo! Like, we are so close. Maybe I shouldn't have said woo. Maybe boo. Boo, we're almost done with Proverbs. Boo. I don't know. No. We are almost done, though. So we don't know what we're going to talk about next, to be honest. We're not. We haven't got to that point because this has kind of snuck up on me. Like how quick we've gone through everything. So, again, hope you're reading it for yourself because we're not taking, that time to read it in front of y'all, just to kind of save some time so we can get through some more stuff. So hope you're still reading it, kind of underlining verses, do whatever you need to in your Bible just to help you remember those short phrases of wisdom. So real quick, because we're going to try to figure out, listen to me, finish out like this little section of the text. Dylan, how has your week gone since last Wednesday?
Well, my week is great. Not really a whole lot's happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had a good week. Mm-hmm. And the house is almost done. So I'm pretty sure we said that last week too, but it's getting there. We're plugging along.
And imagine when it is done, though.
One day.
One day.
Someday. Anyway. But yeah, everything's great. Went to the doctor today. Got a good report.
There you go.
That's nice.
That's always nice. That's a win.
It's a win.
That's a W.
It's a W. So, yeah, everything's great, though. Everything is wonderful. What about you? Tell us about your week, your upcoming events. I'm excited. I get to drive and speak to some Freed Hardeman University students.
There you go. So
that'll be fun.
Yeah.
It's like 250 miles from my house, but I'm going to drive there, speak, and drive home. I don't speak until 7:30 p.m. So I'm going to get back at like 1 or 2 o'clock.
You like get up there and be like, guys, it's going to be short and sweet.
Jesus loves you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I'm just kidding. But I'm excited. Andrea has a wedding shower, so I'll be flying solo. But that's all right.
Lame.
Nothing that old Benson Boone can't solve, but I'm headed up there. I'm obsessed with Benson Boone right now. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Jackson knows.
I do
know. He's probably sick of it.
I don't care.
But yeah, that's me.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about? Do you not even know?
I don't know yet.
That is true Dylan Wood fashion.
It's gonna come to me. I've been really fighting the devil this week. So I've been engaged in other battles elsewhere.
That's true.
So I don't know yet, but I'm going to work on it tonight and tomorrow. So...
You're
Gucci.
What you'll do, and those who don't know, this is true Dylan Wood fashion, is he'll like come up with something and then, like, he'll work on it for like 3 days and then the night before he'll change it.
I'll read it. Man, this was trash. What am I thinking?
It completely do something different.
I actually have a file on my computer that says rejected sermons. And I put all the ones I don't like in
really?
The rejected file. Yeah.
I know a couple of times where you've told me you've worked on it and then like Saturday night before you get up to preach it, you just are like, trash, something new. So, and which is okay, which is okay. I'm sure the other ones aren't trash. I'm sure they're great. But I guess we'll never hear them.
I guess we'll never know.
I guess we'll never know.
What about you? Let's talk about you.
So me, it's been a good week so far. I'm trying to think. It's been really warm. Work is busy. And that's, you know, that's a good thing. Work being busy. Tomorrow I get to close on my land.
Ooh, we've not talked about the land at all.
Yeah, I guess.
Woo!
Woo! That's it.
A forceful woo.
Well, I was supposed to close last Thursday and some things went down with the title company. So, but this Thursday is official. I've paid money. It's there. All I have to do is sign my name now. So by 8 o'clock tomorrow. This is coming out on Wednesday the 24th. So Thursday the 25th, hopefully at like 8:02, I'll have some land in my name. So, and besides that, you know, that's it. I'm just gonna chill. I'm not gonna. Those who are wondering, I'm not gonna build. If you are wondering, I don't know if people wonder, but I wasn't gonna build. I'm not for a little bit. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, I'm gonna be honest, kind of excited to just. Like, this weekend, I got, like, nothing going on, like, specifically, now that we're not moving in, and now
RIP.
And so, like, I'm just going to, like, no, I still have school. Just kidding. I'm almost done for school. So, the next week, are you going to be ready to move in next weekend? I'm sorry, I'm scatterbrained.
I would like to, yes, but we'll talk about that later. But, yeah, I would like to be ready to move in next week.
Cool. Well, cross that bridge when we get there. But, yeah. Jackson's had a great week, and let's get into some Proverbs, shall
we? We're going to do Proverbs 27, 28, and 29.
I hope we haven't done 27.
And I don't have anything for 27, so we're going to let Jackson take the stage.
Okay, so if you got your Bibles, or if you're driving, don't get your Bibles, because you might get in a wreck. But chapter 27, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips." So, like, these proverbs, as we can see, both concern boasting, you know, except there's a little bit of a difference. You know, the first one, it says, don't boast. You know, the boast and praise are different forms of the same Hebrew word. So it's kind of confusing sometimes, but in verse one, a person should not boast about tomorrow. And I think that's meaning like, man, look what I get to do tomorrow. Like, I'm going to be successful, or, you know, insert something in where you're almost bragging about it. And then in verse 2, it's saying he should not boast of himself. I think that's a really like a hard thing that we try to grasp. I think boast is sometimes a word we don't use that much. I want to say, you think like brag would be appropriate? Like, that might be like an equivalent. I feel like bragging is really easy to fall into and not notice it. Like, of course you have like the very straightforward brag where you literally are with the intention of doing that. And then you have some that are like, it all happens in here, in your heart. And that's something, you know, that, you know, I've been trying to read over the Sermon on the Mount, like, continuously. And, like, Jesus kind of, like, nails that home with hypocrisy. That is one of the things he is very vocal about, especially to the Pharisees. And, like, hypocrisy, it's kind of funny. It means that you're doing the right thing, but you're doing it for the wrong reason. That's like what the intended word is in the Bible, is that you're doing the right thing, like the Pharisees who are, you know, being religious, you know, activists or whatever it may be, in the community, but you're doing it for the wrong reason because your heart's in the wrong place. You know, there's a way around, you know, maybe being giving yourself some credit, but at what point is it become bragging instead of like, you know, I think of something really easy is like if somebody like asks like, "Hey, how'd your day go?" And then you just go on like, "Oh man, you know what? Oh, I had a crane set today. Psh, nothing, no biggie. You know, I had, you know, just talking yourself up." And you might not even realize it, but that's just something that I feel like I struggle with, but like try to keep reminding myself. Like, these are good words of wisdom that I really need to focus on what my heart is really, really holding right now. You know, if somebody is genuinely asking about my day, is it, you know, without boast, you know, not bragging, and that's just a very, you know, easy, small example. We can take this much bigger, but, and then in verse 2, just kind of, I think that's one of the biggest forms of like, I don't know, again, you can almost think of, like, bragging, but, like, when somebody, like, talks good about you when you're not in the room, like, that is, like, awesome. Like, that is such a good feeling, even though you might not ever know it, but, like, that should, like, make you, that should be something I think you should strive for. Like, be that kind of person to where you want to leave that kind of impact. But then again, that's a two-edged sword. At what point is it bragging or boasting? It's all what happens in the heart. You know, that's Jesus, what he keeps kind of repeating in the Sermon on the Mount, is that it's all about our heart. What is it in for? That kind of notion throughout. So I thought verses 1 and 2 were good. It's something to help me think about and make sure I'm not doing things for the wrong reason. I think it reminds me to always check myself before I wreck myself. So, yeah. So that was it.
Well, chapter 28, which verse are you doing there?
I'll jump to 29. You take 28.
No, you take, it's good. We have plenty of time.
Okay. Well, I got verse 1.
Go ahead.
Okay. Chapter 28, verse 1. The wicked flee, excuse me, when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I don't know. This is, like, being bold is such, like, a feeling or characteristic I want. I envy. I'm like, yeah, I want to be bold as a lion. You know, I can't remember this scripture. I'm gonna have to look it up. But there's a scripture in Revelations where it is comparing Jesus to the boldness of a lion, but also like the meekness of a lamb. Like kind of like portrays those two. And if you know it, you know it. I'll definitely have to look it up whenever you start talking about yours. But that's what Jesus is. The meekness of a lamb, kind of like the gentleness, like, and we saw that throughout his life. But then at the same time, like the boldness of a lion, like he wasn't afraid to come out and to tell the truth, however it may have impacted someone there, or either stepped on toes, or, you know, because he was in situations where, you know, he was not the life of the party for them, especially the Jewish leaders, when they get him in that courtroom and they're just nailing into him, throwing all of this shade, and he's just sitting there preaching the truth like a lion. And so that's something else that I thought really stood out to me.
Well, what I like in chapter 28 is, let's see, I gotta find it. I hate whenever I leave my Bible somewhere.
Where'd you leave it?
To use. It's either in the cabin or in my truck.
Ah.
But verse 13 says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." You know, this is, and it's hard when you get into, when we've gone through 27 chapters of Proverbs, isms, or 20 chapters.
Bless you.
It's hard to, you know, find stuff that we haven't talked about in Proverbs, but this one, it always strikes a chord with me, because you have people in general in this world today, that Christians even, that we spend more time trying to cover up our problems instead of sharing the gospel of Jesus and pleasing other people.
Right.
We literally spend more time trying to cover ourselves up and make ourselves look pretty to please man than we do evangelizing and sharing the love of Jesus. And that's just a fact. You know, and this verse here is telling us, whoever conceals those problems, those transgressions, the sins that we struggle with, will not prosper. And that was something that, you know, growing up, it was always, church is a place for perfect people. No, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, the church, and I'm not talking about a building here, please don't misunderstand me. The church, the group of people that choose Jesus, that choose salvation through him, that, you know, through baptism and all these things, that is not a place for perfect folks. The only perfect, you know, person we have in this entire world was Jesus. So why are we spending so much time just trying to cover up the holes that we dig and the problems that all we do is try to cover those up, so that way when people look at us, they see perfection. And I've tried over, and this has been an ongoing, you know, goal of mine for several years, is trying to to be transparent and say, you know, we're all in this together. We all make mistakes. And honestly, if you know of a sin that I've struggled with, odds are I know it too. Let's sit down and talk about it. I'll tell you all about it. You know, because I'm not trying to hide the fact of who I am.
Right.
And I want to, instead of taking time to shame myself or to, you know, try to make myself look perfect, I want to share Christ. I want to seek out, just like Jackson was saying a minute ago, something we all struggle with, is seeking out the opportunities to be bold. But then in the end of, my goodness, the end of verse 13, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. That's what the church is about. That's what God's chosen people, that's why we even have them. As friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ, is when we are struggling, then it's okay for them to step in and help us. And there's no shame in that. There's no shame at all. Because even the next one, the next verse, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always. Yes, I fear God, but God doesn't expect perfection from me. And if I confess those sins, if I confess the problems that I'm having and seek help from Christ and my brothers and sisters, then I will obtain mercy and grace and all these wonderful things that we can find in Christ. And so that's kind of my takeaway from this verse is, don't be afraid to be transparent. Don't be so busy trying to make yourself look perfect that you miss so many opportunities. But at the same time, don't expect other people to be perfect either. Don't expect other Christians to be perfect. Extend grace where grace is due. Give them mercy, the same mercy that we're blessed with every single day. If we're going to get it, then we are expected to give it as well whenever somebody else presents themselves to us as vulnerable and transparent. So that's kind of my take on that verse. I like that one.
And there are several other verses about about that, how if we don't give mercy, then we won't receive it later. So plenty of other stuff you can look to there. But do you have something for chapter 29?
I was going to look.
Okay, cool. So chapter 29, the verse that stood out to me was verse 19. It says, by mere words, a servant is not disciplined, for though he understands, he will not respond. So the way I kind of take this when I read it was that we, by mere words, a servant is not disciplined, but though he understands, he will not respond. I kind of take this as like a spiritual mentorship kind of thing. Maybe this verse is going in a different direction, but the way I just kind of interpret it is that that if we are, I don't even know if it'd be go that way, but say we have people who look up to us, which is, you know, a matter of fact, usually if you're in, you know, in the church and kind of a setting where there's younger people, especially if you're kind of close in age, I would say they're going to look up to you. You know, I don't know of anybody who personally looks up to me. I'm just kidding.
Raise my hand.
But like the younger people of the congregation or of the community of whatever it may be, they're going to look up to you. And I think this by mere words is meaning just because you're saying to do something isn't going to, you know, stick with them. You know what I mean? It's not going to, you can't just be like, oh, well, yeah, you should just love Jesus and love your people around you, you know, forgive them. That's true, completely true, and of what you're saying. But I think what it's meaning is that this kind of teaching requires, or this lifestyle, I guess, would be better. The lifestyle of a Christian is not just mere words. It is also the action. It is the, you know, well, hey, you should forgive your people in your corner or whatever it may be. Well, then you got to show it. When something happens, say something goes down and you're put in a tough position where, you know, you're going to have to forgive them because Jesus says to forgive them, you know, and That's what I think this verse is kind of saying. Didn't mean to sound like scatterbrained there. I just wanted to gather my thoughts. But for our lifestyle as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, it is going to take more than just words. I can tell people to come to church, but when I get here, do I look happy? Do I want to be at church? Why would I ask someone to come to church and then they come and then see me miserable? You know, that's the kind of like the realization that I'm also like coming with here, that, you know, if I'm going to talk the talk, I got to walk the walk. You got something you want me to keep going?
Keep going for a minute.
Okay. Trying to think what else to add, just to add to this. I'm sorry. I got nothing over here.
All right, look at verse 7.
Yes. Long enough.
This says, the righteous consider the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge. You know, when you look at people through the eyes of Jesus, the world has construed the idea of the quote-unquote classes that you're in. Mm-hmm. We have come up with low class, middle class, and high class.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at people, we see, they're poor, they're fat, they're ugly, that's their clothes. Or Jesus doesn't look at any of that. He really could care less. And when you read this verse, the righteous consider the cause of the poor. What it's saying here is, you know, one mark of the righteous man is that they care for the poor. Well, what is poor? What is wealthy? We're not going to get into that. But it's more than a response of pity. I think the Greek translation here is basically saying, well, he considers the poor.
Mm.
And that word considers in the Greek is translated thoughtful compassion in action. That's what I want to talk about. Thoughtful compassion in action. You know, there are so many people that, let's just take the word poor out of it because that's a man-made, you know, anyway. But if we're going to call ourselves righteous people, then we need to be willing to have thoughtful compassion in action. And what I mean by that is if we're going to call ourselves Christians, then we need to be willing to care and consider everybody. Everybody. Because that's what Christ did. He didn't just cater to one group of people. He doesn't care what social class you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can live in a cardboard box on the side of the road and have a heart filled with the Spirit of Christ, and you're good.
Yeah.
You're great. But this worldly idea of not considering other people, what they like, what they dislike, what upsets them, whatever. And the wicked, as it continues, the wicked does not understand the knowledge that comes from considering other people. You know, we have our rose-colored glasses on, I guess, that Christ doesn't really want us to have. He wants us to care about everybody. People who are in the church, people who don't know Christ, people who are poor, people who are rich, people who whatever. He just says, I want you to care about other people and love other people. And don't put these worldly characteristics and you know, classes on others, because that's not biblical. We are command, and there was classes in the Bible, not the way we, you know,
won't be him in heaven though. So
right, that's... but it doesn't matter.
Right.
And the whole point of a Christian is we love everybody, no matter what. And that means, unfortunately, even if you don't want to, it means caring about other folks,
mm-hmm.
caring about obviously, I hope you care about the people you're close to.
Yeah.
But also care about, you know, everybody else that you come into contact with. You know, it's a big thing to me. Because, obviously, we've talked about my road rage on this podcast in the 2 years of its life. But that's just where I immediately go 0 to 60 in the anger department.
Mm-hmm.
I can be calm, cool, and collected and just being nice. And somebody cuts me off, I come unglued. But guess what? Christ died for that person. They make mistakes. But I don't extend grace and mercy. You know, and in every situation, we're just supposed to carefully consider other people. And need I remind you here, it's not just thoughtful compassion. It's thoughtful compassion in action. You know, feelings, and Jackson mentioned this earlier, you know, feelings don't do anything.
Yeah.
Unless there's a motivated action behind it to express those feelings. And Jesus did that so many times. And obviously he's Christ, and I'm not going to belittle him. He could think about, you know, you in a good way and heal you if he wanted to. But he made sure that no matter what happened, that he showed that compassion in action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about the time whenever he raised Lazarus from the dead. They were so mad at him. So mad because he wasn't there.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you weren't here, so he died. And I can't believe that. And that would make me mad because I'm like, I don't have to be there. He could have thought it. And through the power of God, he could have raised him from the dead right then.
Yeah.
But instead, he continued to think about it and let them be angry and walk up there and heal him.
Yeah.
Because he has thoughtful compassion, but he put action behind it.
Right.
So that's something that I want to work on, is showing care, not just for the people that I'm close to, not just for my family, but for everybody. No matter what the situation, not their social status, not their financial status, not their job, nothing. Because guys, that doesn't matter. Christ doesn't care about that.
Yeah.
Doesn't care about that at all. So, that's the verse that I like in Proverbs 29.
Is that it? I think we're it.
Thoughtful compassion and action.
Yeah. Well, this kind of closes off another little section of Proverbs. Chapters 30 and 31 are a little bit different. They kind of have like a lot of wisdom in them as well. But they're just not written by Solomon, I would say. It's the words of a girl. And the words of King Lemuel. So we're also going to get into those, though, for sure. But we hope that you've enjoyed Proverbs so far. We're almost towards the end, and we'll have, you know, announcement at the end, maybe what we'll do next. So just stay tuned. Thank you for listening again. Dylan, any final thoughts?
We hope you have a great week.
That's right. Always.
Be calm, cool, and collected.
That's right.
And love other folks.
I like it.
So,
we love you. Jesus loves you.
Have a great week.
Bye.
Oh,
you're not even ready.
I'm not even ready to stop it.
I saw it. You said bye so quickly.
I'm sorry. Bye.